Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
So here we go. My son wrote that song. My son wrote that song and sang that song, produced the song, probably, what, 11 years ago? And I just love it. It's of course, being the mom, yes, I love it. But anyway, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm the host, global happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, student, always learning, always growing. And I really appreciate the time that you are taking to listen to the show. If you want to speak with me live, if you have a question and you want to speak with me live, especially for the wisdom folks, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and I am taking live calls. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Let me start off, since I am a happiness specialist, a self-proclaimed, let me start off by sharing you what my definition of happiness is. Happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen to you in this life. Let me just repeat that. Happiness is the ability to be at peace, to vibrate peace, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. In other words, life is a series of ups and downs and ups and downs, storms, sunny days. But can you maintain that vibration, that energy of peace, regardless of what's happening outside? And when I say vibration and energy, you can feel the difference. You can feel when you're feeling connected, content. Oh, what a great day. Oh, yay, it's such a good day. And then you can feel when it doesn't feel like a good day. You can feel when you're tense or you're irritated or you're sad or you're angry, anything. So you can feel the difference. And when I say it's an energy, it really is. And going back to that temperature gauge, going back to what are you set at, are you quick to anger? Are you quick to judge? Are you quick to complain? Are you quick to be in other people's business, noticing what someone else is doing? Only you can answer those questions. And let's get back to the priority. When I say happiness specialist, when I was younger, and forgive me, people that have been listening to me for years, I got to share because I've just been getting a lot of new people organically. So let me just share again. When I was younger, you know, when you make a wish, you blow out the candles on your birthday cake and you make a wish, I always wish for the same two things. Or you throw a coin into a fountain, I always ask for the same two things. It never changed. And the first one was I wanted to live to my potential. And I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it looked like. I just said, I want to live to my potential, whatever that is. And the second thing that I always wished for, I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be happy. And speaking about that, there was an article. This is before the slap heard around the world. Will Smith was interviewed and anything that I say with other people, you can Google it, you can look it up, was interviewed in GQ magazine. Let me see, where is that article? I know I have it because I pulled it out of a magazine when I was in, let's see, where was it? Where is it? Oh, of course I don't have it handy. It was GQ magazine, and he was saying that he wanted to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Well, he accomplished that. Very successful by the world standard. Success. And I'm using air quotes here. I wish you could see me. Wait till I get my live video show. Air quotes. Very successful. But you know what he said in that article? It was November 2021. He said, "I wasn't happy." And that is what the show is about. What is, and in fact, I got a question last week we discussed about someone asked me, you know, "Rebecca, I achieve the goals, I make a goal, I achieve the goals, and then after that, I'm still not satisfied. What is that?" And that's where I come in. What is that? What is that search? What is that feeling? I'm going to speak for myself, that I was looking for, because there were a lot of things, traveling, titles, living, finding Mr. Right, but guess what? There was something missing. So that's what I talk about, what's missing. And when I say what's missing, when I say happiness, let me just slow down here because I can just be, I could go a million miles an hour on this topic. And when I talk about happiness, again, it is a vibration that you feel in every moment, the vibration of contentment. That is the easiest description, the vibration of contentment. Regardless, this morning, the Bluetooth was not working, the internet service is out, all of this, but my vibration, my energy stayed the same. Because the practice is, when I say happiness is a practice skill, it has nothing to do with what happens. It's what is your temperature gauge set at. So let me just get back to my definition of happiness, the ability to be at peace, the ability to vibrate peace, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And again, if you want to talk to me live, if you have a question or a comment, you can call into area code 646-564-9619. There is a formula for happiness. And the formula is you can make a choice in every moment. The formula empowers you. You and that person in the mirror. I know. Trust me. It is not easy looking in the mirror and say, "Oh, that one's on me. You mean that's my fault? You mean I could have done something different? It's not them, it's me." But I'm used to it now. I know that if I'm irritated by anything, I can't blame it on a person or a community or the world or what the state of the world my ego wants to tell me in, because you're either looking at the world or you're either looking at the world as everything is in divine order, or Houston, we have a problem. Guess which one I choose. It's divine order, whether I understand it, whether my ego likes it. And when I say ego, I'm talking about the lower consciousness, the ego, the mind. You know that chatter that always says, "Something's wrong here." But let me get back to this looking for, seeking happiness. And there was a, you know what's so funny? Let me get my water. Hold on a second. That's right. There's no editing here. Live. I love it too. Hold on, I'm drinking water now. Now, that can't be that I that I need to talk less. No, that's not going to happen. Okay. There was he's a billionaire now. His name is Ted Leonsis, and you've heard about it, the bucket list. He survived a plane crash in 1993, and he comes up with this, you know, I'm going to change my life. And he has 101 things on his bucket list. Let me share with you some of the things that are on his bucket list. And why I'm sharing it is there is absolutely nothing on this list that is going to add to his peace, add to his happiness, add to his vibration of contentment, add to the energy of satisfaction. Long lasting. I mean, for a moment, sure. You've heard the stories about these people that have won the lottery, millions and millions and millions of dollars. But guess what? The happiness level didn't change, didn't shift. So some of the things he actually has it listed in sections. And we're going to get to today's topic. Oh, my gosh, I cannot wait to share with you what I was challenged this week by. It was a person that asked me a question, and she challenged me. And in the moment, I didn't have an answer. But some of the things on his list, financial matters, pay off college debt. Oh, this is a good one. Have a net worth of $10 million after taxes. Have a net worth of $100 million after taxes. Have a net worth of $1 billion, possessions, own a beach house, own a yacht, great piece of art, own a Ferrari, change someone's life by a charity, give $1 million to Georgetown University. I mean, I get it. The programming says, and when I say programming, we were all programmed for unhappiness, every single one of us, including moi. Program for unhappiness. So it is a battle against the programming, against those beliefs, and that is what was, and that is what was. I was challenged this week, and a woman, and this woman in one of the classes that I teach, she said to me, she says, "Well, Rebecca," I said, "Yes." She said, "You're talking about being positive, and you're talking about having a positive mindset, or and she says everybody isn't like that. Everyone can't be positive. And I'm here to say that this is not about being positive. This is about you've heard either the glass is half full or half empty." That is true. You either have the glass is half full or half empty. And I do have a mindset of the glass is half full, very optimistic. But that still doesn't talk about the practice that I'm going to share with you. So when she said you have to have a positive mindset already, and some people don't, some people are more on the negative side, or some people are more easily angered, I didn't have an answer at the moment, but guess what? Guess what always happens? It always happens. The universe, and I use the term universe, you can say God, you can say source, you can say higher power, and guess what? You don't even have to believe in God to practice this skill. When I say happiness is a practice skill, you don't even have to believe in God. You don't have to have any faith. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do any rituals, any chakras. You don't have to do any of that. You can, for this practice that I'm talking about, again, the number to call in if you have a question is area code 646-564-9619. Let me get to what she asked me. She says, "Well, everybody isn't positive. Everybody doesn't have a great outlook that the world is fine." And when I say and I get it, trust me, I do. Because I used to be, I used to be someone who was very easily angered, I love to argue, Here we go. The topic, before I go on, I have to share this only because I get new listeners. My favorite studies that was done, forgive me people that have heard me a million times, one of my favorite studies that was done, you can Google it, it was done by a hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware. And it was called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. Woo! The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty powerful topic and a very powerful study. You have people that are coming to the end of their lives. I'm in my third stage. I'm 66. I got one foot. I mean, I don't have as much time as I used to. The 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I talked to someone the other day about I've been living my life for other people, what other people want. He's 52. He's changing it up. Number 2, I wish I didn't work so hard. Number 3, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number 4, I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. Well, I've got a caveat on that one because, you know, I've outgrown a lot of people. I've just outgrown people, and I'm not compatible with the people that I've outgrown. Nothing wrong with them. No judgment here. It's just the compatibility has shifted. And that's another practice. When a fish isn't compatible with an elephant, a bird isn't compatible with an alligator. So it's really about compatible energy. And you can feel that or not. When I talk about solutions and I talk about happiness as a practice skill, that means that the person has to take action. If you're not compatible with someone, it's not their fault that you're still around, that you're still trying to make them be different or change or see it your way. That's your fault. I'm sorry, everyone. All the blame goes on your shoulders, no one else's. And let me get back to the 5th most common regret of the dying. I wish I would have let myself be happier. You can't get any more powerful than that. So what is the practice? Well, the practice is, like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice, and it is daily, it is moment by moment, the better the results. So the question that you ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize happiness? And again, it's a vibration. It is a vibration. It is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. It's your foundation. It's your identity. That's when I say happiness. It is who are you? What do you choose in any moment, peace or drama? And you know the interesting thing about choice and finding out what someone really, who they really are? You only know a person when they're challenged. You only know a person when they're challenged. It's easy to smile when the sun is shining and you just received, you found you're in love or you found, or you won the lottery or whatever, achieved a goal. It's easy to be happy. I'm talking about something that is not going to leave you. It's not going to disappear. You're either living on the surface of the ocean or the wave, and your vibration is dictated by the weather, the storms, the wind. If it's a calm day at sea, then you're calm. Or you're living on the bottom of the ocean where the surface has nothing to do with your vibration or your energy. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the skill. So let's get back to the cooking lesson. Beef Wellington. The question was, the woman in the class asked me, doesn't someone have to be have a more positive attitude? Doesn't someone have to believe, not believe, but be more, a glass is instead of the glass is half empty, the glass is half full? Doesn't a person have to have that mentality to practice what you're talking about? And at the moment, I didn't really have an answer, but guess what? It always happens a couple of a day or maybe a few hours, and who knows? But I get these, I have communications. And that's another thing, my dear audience. Develop a relationship. You know what? Because I already said you don't have to believe in God. So, but if you do, develop a relationship with Source, the universe, God, higher power, and have conversations. Really, that's my main relationship. So let's get to our cooking show. Julia Child, can anyone make beef Wellington? What I did was I went on YouTube and I Googled and I searched for the 10 hardest recipes any chef could make. 10 hardest recipes. And there was beef Wellington, there was baked Alaska, there were a lot of pastry recipes, I mean intricate recipes that only, let's use Gordon Ramsay, I think he's global, I think everybody knows who he is. Let's use Gordon Ramsay. And again, the number if you want to call in and ask me a question live is area code 646, especially to my wisdom people, area code 646-564-9619. Gordon Ramsay, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but he's a master chef, restaurants all over the world. He has a television show. What is it? Oh, it's called Master Chef. Anywho, can anyone make one of the hardest recipes in the world to make? And beef Wellington was one of them. I've never had beef Wellington, but I've seen the show and I've seen people try to make it, and I know it's very complicated. From the making of the beef, the steak, to the pastry. I'm just not a chef. I'm very basic. Spaghetti, curry chicken, scampi. Oh, but I digress. Scrambled eggs. Soup. A lot of good soup. Okay, back to the show. Back to the show. I can get off point in a second. Can anyone make a beef Wellington? A civilian. Not a chef, you or me. What would you answer? Well, in this moment, the answer is hell no. No, I can't make beef Wellington. It would be beyond a joke. But what if, here we go, happiness is a practice skill. What if Gordon Ramsay, or I visited Gordon Ramsay every day, I don't know, half a day, a whole day, for a year, and he showed me step by step how to make gourmet restaurant quality beef Wellington. And if there's 30 steps to beef Wellington, I have no idea. I'm just throwing out a number. If there's 30 steps to beef Wellington, I spent days, weeks, months, unlimited amount of time on the first step until I mastered it. On the first step until I mastered it. And then we go to the next step. You're following me where I'm going with this. Again, when I say happiness is a practice skill, it doesn't require you to believe in any higher power. It doesn't require you to go to church. It doesn't require you to have rituals. It doesn't, chakra block your chakras. It doesn't require you to unblock your chakras or chant or the sounding bowls. I'm not saying there's anything. I'm just saying it doesn't require any of that. It requires constant practice daily. Daily practice. This is a journey less traveled. The journey to being at peace, regardless of what happens in your life, is not an easy one. Trust me on that. Ups and downs. I mean, I'm in my fourth decade. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. Fourth decade. And so, because when I was in my teens, in my 20s, I really asked the question, was it possible to maintain and sustain this happiness regardless of the roller coaster of life? I really, really wanted to know that answer. And it has taken all that time, all that discovery, all of the practice to get the answer. And so what has happened is there are behaviors that have been proven, that are proven to subtract from your peace, from your happiness, from your vibration of contentment, from that vibration. And listen, in any moment, you're either vibrating, I'm satisfied or I'm dissatisfied. In any moment, you're either vibrating the feeling of contentment or resistance. So all the practice is little by little, with a lot of time and a lot of patience for self, a lot of patience, a lot of commitment, and prioritizing, making a commitment, and practicing, and giving yourself an A+ in every moment, letting go of all self-criticism and embracing an acceptance of where you are in every moment. I grew up in a house where there weren't compliments, but there was the other C word, criticized all the time for anything, hair, grades, speaking correctly, pronunciation of certain words, the list is so long. And so I was such a great student that when I left the house, guess what? I didn't need them criticizing me anymore. I did it to myself. There wasn't a day that I didn't criticize, judge what I did. And I'm here to tell you that that is one of the biggest practices, is to let go and accept exactly where you are in every moment and give yourself an A+, a pat on the back. The universe, the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. I've said it a million times. This is an impersonal universe. And the programming is so real and so deep that it is the programming of criticizing, that it is the programming of judging. You did not pop out of here. You did not pop out of the womb knowing how to judge, knowing how to blame someone else, knowing how to point the finger, having expectations. No, you learned all of that. So the practice is an unlearning of what you learned, an unlearning of what I learned. And the programming, my book that I'm one I'm writing now, Program for Unhappiness, it's all about uprooting, pulling up the programming that is causing, that is subtracting from the peace, from your peace. What are some of the program behaviors that subtract from peace? And when I say anybody can practice, let's go back to the Beef Wellington example. Again, if you want to call in and ask me a question, the number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I love questions. I've been put on this planet, and I'm not saying I have all the answers, but one of my biggest compliments is, oh, Rebecca, I never looked at it like that. That's a different perspective that I am open enough to receive and to ponder. That's it. All I'm doing here is offering a different perspective than what's out there, a different perspective. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm dedicated. I am committed. It is my life journey. It is my purpose. It is my destiny to share with you what I've practiced. So what are some of the program behaviors that subtract from happiness? But let's get back to the Beef Wellington example. Let's get back to the Beef Wellington. Do you think if Gordon Ramsay was your mentor and he spent hours a day with you, a year, up to 5 years, I don't know if you want to spend 10 years learning how to make a Beef Wellington, but you could. I've spent 40 years with this practice. 40 years. 40 years. Gladly. And why do I say gladly? Because I know the difference of who I used to be and what I used to react to. See, in any moment, you're either reacting to life, to a person, to a circumstance, or you're responding. And responding requires consciousness. Responding requires self-awareness. Responding requires, sometimes doesn't even require a response. Sometimes responding is just being quiet. Now, there have been times in my life where, years ago, where someone would say something that I disagreed with or was on the different side side of the fence that I was on. And come on, I was right there reacting. Yeah, let's go. You want to argue with me? You want to know one of the biggest addictions? Forget the alcohol, the drugs, the shopping, the gambling. What about the addiction to being right? Someone told me the other day, I was in class the other day, and this gentleman said, oh, I love this. And I may be bouncing around, but I just, this is how I flow. And the gentleman asked, he said to me, he gets angry, here we go, he gets angry when people park in a handicap spot, in a handicap space. He gets angry of the disabled have, you know, the handicap space should, there's that word should, which is a word I never use. I don't use the word should anymore. Never use it. I don't use the word should, and I never use the word mistake. There's nothing I should do. There's only what I'm inspired to do. Again, if you want to call in and ask me a question, the number here is area code 646-564-9619, or even offer a different point of view. I'm open. But let me get back to the student who was talking about, he gets so angry when, so this one gentleman, and I live in this elderly community, life is fun. Now I'm in a elderly 55 and older. Wow. And he gets very upset when people park in the handicap space and they're not handicapped. So he actually yelled at this one man, hey, you can't park there. You don't have a handicap sticker. You know, that's for the disabled. Now, you can take up that cause, and you can check other people, and you can do all of that. But the question becomes, is there any peace in it for you? Do you feel peaceful doing that? And then you might say, no, but come on, somebody's going to have to take up for the, somebody's going to have to say something. let me share with you this, especially for all of you, climate people. I'm saying it with love. Whatever your energy is what you are contributing to the planet. If you're angry, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's your contribution to the planet. And I choose as much as I can, and I don't have it perfectly, trust me, I choose to contribute peace to this planet. I choose to contribute an energy of peace to this planet as much as possible. That's my choice. Judge it or not. Because quite frankly, your judgments are subtracting from your peace, not mine. So he went on and on about, and I said, number one of the practices is, talk about taking away from your peace, is being in anybody else's business and noticing what someone else is doing, making a judgment about it. And if you really want to take it to another level and subtract from your peace, say something to them. Ooh-wee! Talk about peace subtractor. Again, the vibration, the energy of peace. Talk about subtracting. You know, if you tell somebody they're rude, they're inconsiderate, you know, all the labels that are put on others. Oh, put your seatbelts on for this one. Everyone, put your seatbelts on. If you label anyone rude, if you label anyone inconsiderate, whatever you label anyone else, guess what? It's, you're talking about yourself. Racist, narcissist, I'm sorry. All the labels are describing you, my dear listener. Ooh, I know I get a lot of, I get so many people angry at me. But I know the anger isn't personal. Let me get back to the student. So he was saying, I disagree with you, Rebecca. I have to say something about seeing if I notice someone's parking in the spot and they're not supposed to. I have to. I get it. I used to be the same way. My thing wasn't the parking, and well, actually, that used to bother me too. And then the littering. Oh, I used to get so bothered by people littering. It drove me up the wall. I mean, come on, I have lists of things that used to bother me. But one of the things I asked the universe was, I said, I don't want to feel annoyed. I don't. That feeling of being annoyed and irritated, I was feeling that most of my life. I was tired of feeling annoyed and irritated. Universe, how do I let go of? And that's my practice, always asking the universe how. How do I let go of that vibration of irritation? How do I let go of it? Can I live the rest of my life without being irritated? And you know what happened over a period of decades? That's right, I said decades. The things that used to irritate me, bother me, drive me up the wall, I would make me say something to a stranger. Somehow getting less and less and less to even non-existent. Non-existent. I will be damned if I'm going to sit up and say something to someone, especially if they're not, unless someone physically causing harm, I'm not going to say anything. Because saying something for me, I don't know about you, saying something for me subtracts from my peace. So the question becomes, what's subtracting from your peace? Are you as peaceful when you're faced with life challenges? Yes or no? Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Yes or no? Can other people hurt your feelings? So when this guy was challenging me and saying, well, I disagree. And I stated my point again. I said I'm not in anybody else's business. I mean, causes. Listen, I know people have their causes, and causes are great. But I will be damned if what I think is important, I'm going to be on a crusade to make you think that's important too. See, that's the trip. That's the tricky part. I have a cause. And this is a just cause. This is a right cause. You are not supposed to be parking in handicapped spots. No, it's not. It's against the law. And it's the handicap. Stand up for the disabled. I get it. I get it. I promise you, I get it. But if that's important to me, who am I to want you to think that's important to you? See, that's the key. That's the trick. That's the That's the pee under the mattress. I have a cause, and I want you to think that that cause is. I think this is an important cause, and I want you to think this is an important cause too. Well, when you're in that spot, trust me, that's subtracting from your peace, your happiness, and all the time. I used to have causes. I don't have any causes. I don't even think that happiness should, there we go with that word, should. I don't even think happiness, if you don't think that's important, I'm good with it. But there's a lot of evidence from Michael Jackson to Prince, Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, Will Smith. There's a lot of evidence that, that happiness thing, that peace thing, is there's something. There's something to it. Or not. Which, you know what, let me just share this. I don't know if you've heard this one before. This is one of my favorites. I love sharing it. I love sharing it. And again, if you've heard it before, if you heard it before, go get some water or get a snack. In September 2021, I attended a marketing event. It was a networking event attended by the speakers, global speakers, people worth millions of dollars, billions of dollars. Priceline guy. So there's one guy who was a speaker. His name is Walter O'Brien. You can Google him, Walter O'Brien. And he supposedly has an IQ of 197. Woo-wee, 197. He's the inspiration for the CBS television series Scorpion. I never heard of him before, but I was interested in somebody with 197 IQ. And he's worth $50 million. And I said, let me just rub elbows with Mr. O'Brien. Okay, what's up, Walter O'Brien? 197, I was bold enough. I wanted to see if I could have a conversation with him. Because I know my IQ is in 197. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not that. And let me go back to that temperature gauge. What are you set on? I'm telling you, I am set on 10 seconds. I could be 10 seconds away from laughing, and inappropriately when it's not supposed to be politically correct to laugh. Oh no, I mean I'm so close to laughter in every moment. Laughter, people. If you are not laughing every day or finding something to laugh out or laugh at, whether it's YouTube videos, I mean, a daily dose of laughter, I highly recommend it every single day. I highly recommend it. It is medicine. But let me get back to my Mr. Walter O'Brien. And he was a good-looking guy, young guy. I said, hey, Mr. O'Brien, may I speak with you? Because all of the speakers made time for us little peons, which was very nice. If you had questions or you wanted to connect, you wanted to network, I was just curious about 197 IQ. $50 million, okay, that's nice too. I've never talked to somebody one-on-one. $50 million, I mean, at that time I never had. So here we go. I said, hi, Mr. O'Brien. My name is Rebecca Norrington, and I'm a happiness specialist. I didn't say it like that, but close. And before, and this is, thank God for this. Thank God for this moment, universe. I am so grateful for this moment. And before I could get it out, I'm a happiness specialist, Mr. O'Brien, Walter O'Brien said to me, that I've wasted, he said, you know, this is what he said. He said, I would never hire you to work in any of my companies because what you do is toxic. Oh, that's another buzzword, toxic, toxic. Really? Oh, these buzzwords, I mean, come on. The finger pointing and the blaming is rampant. It's just like the virus. Finger-pointing, blaming, it's other people, it's them. No, everyone, it's look in the mirror. It's you. It's not them, it's you. This blaming other people, I call it the blame game. It's not your circumstances. It's not the relationship you do or don't have. It's not who won the election or the price of gas or the weather. It's not your health or the aches and pains of life. It's definitely not money. We've had so many examples of that. Even though the program is, boy, if I had all this money, I'd be happy. Freedom, money brings freedom. Freedom is a state in mind. Freedom is a state of mind. You can have billions of dollars and not have a free state of mind. My best friend, he's retired now, but of course I get off into different tangents. He used to be Dignitary Protection. He's met anyone you can name in the world, from Queen Elizabeth to the Dalai Lama to people with millions and billions of dollars. And he used to always tell me, these people with all the money, I'm not saying everyone, they know the truth that this money isn't adding to peace. But of course, I digress again. When I say happiness, peace is a change, state of mind. It has nothing to do with outside. It has nothing to do with anything that you own, anything that you can achieve. Nothing. It becomes your identity. That's why it's easy for me to laugh when he said, you're toxic. Toxic? I busted out in laughter. I couldn't laugh loud enough. I mean, yeah, okay, let me hear more. That's what I said. He said, I wasted 35 years of my life studying and pursuing happiness. I've contributed zero to the planet. My search for happiness and inner peace is delusional. What I've accomplished can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. I love that one. He also said I was selfish. Okay. And I took a selfie with this guy. I took a selfie with him. Why? Because of the 40 years of practice. Because whatever he said to me, and you know, when I tell that story, I get the same programmed response. Eyes are open. What? What an asshole. No. He's just expressing his perspective. His one perspective. He doesn't have the ability to have more than one perspective on anyone. Scratch that, I don't know anyone. On me. He only had one perspective. And so the practice is being able to choose and come up with and be so creative that you have more than one perspective on any topic. In fact, if you are bothered or challenged by anything or focus on something that you think is wrong in this world or wrong with a person, I challenge you to find another perspective about them. I challenge you to find a different perspective about what's going on in the world. Or not. Or not. The reason why I could laugh when I was so highly insulted, and I really was not, I mean, it's like Teflon. Nothing that he said stuck. I took a selfie with the guy. I can't wait to post it too. I'm going to have a site on that. Anyway, why? Because the practice, what I practice is words innately do not have power. Now, I know, I get, oh, words have power, yes, words have power. I get it. Trust me, I know. But I practice, my practice is there isn't any word that anyone can say to me that's going to bring me up or pull me down. Not anymore. Not anymore. Go back to the Gordon Ramsay working with you for 5 years to create this beef Wellington. You think you could make a gourmet restaurant quality beef Wellington if Gordon Ramsay is working with you every single day for hours and he takes you step by step by step, and in 5 years you can't perfect a beef Wellington? 10 years? 20? 40 years? That's what I'm saying. You don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to do any rituals. It's just a practice. And what is it that you practice? But let me get back to why I could laugh. Words innately don't have power to me. Who's more powerful? The person that can be moved? The person that can be angered? The person that can be offended by words? Letters put together, I'm offended? Not in my world. I used to, but it didn't bring me any peace. And it's never personal, my dear listener, my dear audience. What anyone says to me or anyone says, it's never personal. All it is, it's just not. It's not personal. This is an impersonal universe. And I know that whatever anybody calls me or labels me, I just remembered I didn't finish the story earlier. Whatever anybody calls me or labels me or judges me, it's them. It's nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing. Let me get, because now I just remembered I didn't finish the story about the guy with the handicap cause. Let me just get back to that quickly. So, I just jump. Mine has been a rabbit. Hop here, hop there, hop here. Hopefully the message is kind of, is coming through. I love this topic. I was born to share with anyone who is interested how to maintain and sustain this happiness, this peace. So let me get back to the student that was arguing that said, no, I got to stand up for the handicap. Okay. And I shared with him, well, did you know that being in somebody else's business subtracts from your peace? Did you know that having a cause thinking something is important that someone else may not think is important subtracts from your peace? And really, he wanted to stand on it. He wanted to stand on, no, yes, protect, not protect, but somebody's got to say something if you're parking in a handicapped spot. Somebody's got to say something. And guess what I said after maybe 2 minutes of him not budging and not wanting to budge? I said, okay, you're right. I looked at the class and I said, watch this, class. You're right. You think I'm going to go back and forth with anyone? No, You can be right about anything you want. I'm okay with you wanting to be right. I'm okay with whatever you think about me. I'm okay with all of it. It's a practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, my temperature gauge is set at peace. My temperature gauge is set at, is set at, that's number one for me. And so I'm going to do whatever I can. Sometimes you can't be honest with people too. Sometimes you have to lie. That's right, I said it. I remember when my mother used to love to watch the news. You know, that's another thing. Love to watch the news. And what's on the news? It's always somebody, it's always bad news, murders, rapes, killings, robberies. I mean, come on. I don't watch the news. Well, you should be informed. No, you can be informed for me. I'm good. But she would insist. She would insist that I watch the news. And so after years, quite frankly, of me going back and forth with her, well, the news, there's no good news here. Guess what? I finally surrendered and said what I thought I would never say. Yeah, I saw the news. That's what I say when I say life is about a strategy here. Know your audience. The practice is know your audience and strategize for peace. Yesterday I was in a gathering, probably about 50 people. 50 people, I'm going to say unconscious. And when I say unconscious, I don't mean it, they're unconscious. No, the conversation was about yesterday, what happened yesterday, what happened on the news, what happened, health, with surgery. I mean, that was the conversation. And so I was by myself. I chose to go sit and eat by myself. and actually, the gathering was inside and outside. And so outside was really hot. I said, I'm not sitting outside. It's too hot. Too hot, too hot. And I went inside and I, you know, nice cool air. And someone said to me, can we eat inside? I said, yeah. So now I have a group of people around me talking about unconscious things, meaning talking about the past. That's another thing. The practice, you want to feel more peace and feel happier is living in and staying in the present moment. That's a practice. So here I am surrounded by people talking about yesterday. What did I do after I was, I said, I got to get out of here. I went in the kitchen, sat all by myself. Not for long because they always find me. I can't be by myself for long. They find me. But it's about what can I do? How do I find peace? And we're all so different. Some people would find that conversation stimulating, energizing. What is it? Social. I don't feel that. So if I'm not feeling that, I can't change them. I have to make a move. I have to do something different. I'm either reacting or responding to life, and I put the full responsibility on my shoulders. My shoulders, not them. If I need to, and so time management. Talk about strategies. Time management. If I go somewhere, I know I'm not going to stay there for too long. Or be in one room for too long. Let's talk about some of the addictions that no one is talking about. The addiction to being right. The addiction to trying to control anyone or any circumstance outside of yourself. How about the addiction to negativity, the addiction to complaining, the addiction to fear? How about the addiction to taking anything personally? They're calling your name. That's personal. I'm here to tell you it's still not. The addiction to taking anything personally. How about this? The addiction to worrying. How many of you out there worry? That's a question. And again, if you want to ask me a question, because I'm going to wrap up the show in less than a couple of minutes, you can call in area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619. And I appreciate all of you listening. I really do. I really, really do. Thank you. I don't take your time for granted. Now I could even start crying. I don't take your time for granted because time is all I have left. I don't like to say we, but time is it. And I appreciate you taking time. Whether you agree with me, whether you don't agree with me, whether you have a new perspective, I really do. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for taking the time. And so the worrying, there's only one reason why people worry. And let's get back to what I said earlier. You don't have to believe in God. All worrying comes from lack of trust that whatever is happening is happening to serve you in some way, whether you feel like it, whether it feels like it, or it doesn't. Do you trust that? Do you have evidence of that in your life? Worrying is another programmed behavior. You did not pop out of the womb knowing how to worry. You had to learn how to worry. Someone taught you. And the good news is whatever you learned, you can unlearn. The P word here, practice. Can anyone make a beef Wellington with practice, with guidance, with patience? They don't have to be a master chef. They don't have to have a positive outlook. They don't have to look at the glass and say, glass half full. They could say, glass half empty, and still practice for 5 years and come out and learn with practice and commitment to making a restaurant, gourmet restaurant quality beef Wellington. So this is the same. I don't know if you even feel. I don't know if you even think that committing to happiness or even think that your energy is what you're contributing to the planet. Here we go. This is another thing. Let me just give you another practice. I'm going to throw this out. This is going to be an easy one. This thing about impatience, being impatient. Do you feel any peace in being impatient? Do you feel any peace in rushing? Here's a practice. You could throw this out today. Stop rushing, everyone. From this day forward, I command you to never rush again. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm rushing, it's hard to be peaceful and rush at the same time. Happiness is a practice skill. And don't think I'm doing this by myself. I go out, I'm talking to the universe every day, palms up, hey, how do I practice? How do I get more consciousness? See, that's what I ask for. How do I become more self-aware? How can I raise my consciousness level? How can I practice coming up with more than one perspective? How do I practice acceptance of self? Because this lack of acceptance of others only means there's lack of acceptance of self. How do I practice more acceptance of self, universe? How do I practice letting go of yesterday? You know, this moment, being in the moment. Talk about holding a grudge. Talking about holding on to something. Oh, I used to hold on to shit for years. How do I let go of yesterday like that in an instant? How do I practice living in the present moment? Yeah, that's what I asked for. And this abundance thing, if you're tying it with money, now, how do I practice being abundant with my consciousness level? How do I practice the abundance of acceptance of others? How's that for a bucket list? You know, the other thing, this is something else, and then I'm going to end it. This is something else that subtracts from your peace and happiness. And this is to anyone out there, trust me, having an agenda, talking to someone and you're having an agenda. Oh, I had to learn that the hard way. But boy, I can feel it. I know. And the agenda could be, I just want to make them better. I just want them to be happier. I'm so arrogant. I know what they need. I just want to teach them. And I'm talking about one-on-one when you're talking to people one-on-one. And I'm going to say this, that this show, you know what the agenda is? My agenda is just to share. That's it. I'm just sharing. So if you have an agenda wanting someone else, because I get that a lot. I just want, they need to listen to you. Oh, they need to read this book. Oh, they need to, that wanting, they? It's subtracting. You can do it. But it is subtracting from your peace. I'm here to tell you that. And so I can feel when I have an agenda, oh, I need to teach them. What did I do the other day? Here we go. Don't think I don't slip up, but I catch myself pretty quickly. Here we go. This just happened yesterday. So I'm sitting at this event, and one of my good friends, it's really interesting. This life is so fascinating. I never get bored. And so follow me on this one. Her mother, one of my friends, her mother used to be married to her. Wait, hold on a second, because it is very confusing. Hold on. Okay, I met these two women, and they're friends. But they're friends because one woman, her father, is married to her. Oh my God, this is so confusing. Oof. Let me see if I can explain. Hold on. Let me take a deep breath and see if I can explain this. Because it was confusing to me. I didn't. They're related because her father is married to her friend. Okay? Her father is married to her friend. So that means that her mother is divorced from her father, and now her father is married to her friend, who's, a lot younger. Friend. So they're friends. And I'm at this function, and she asked me, I wonder why my mother wasn't invited. Okay, this is real life. I wonder why my mother wasn't invited. Now, her mother used to be married to the woman's husband who was hosting the party. I hope I'm explaining it. And so here I go. In my head, I said, look at this drama. She's trying to cause drama. So she's asking me. She's not asking the person that sent out the invitations. She's not asking the person that sent out the invitations why you didn't invite my mother. No, she's asking me that. I have no idea. I'm not that person. But see, the questions talking about someone else, that's just drama. And I'm very, I can sniff out a drama like sharks can sniff out blood in the water. Ooh, I could sniff out drama. And so now my heightened senses are up. Oh, look at this drama. She's trying to cause drama. And why is she asking me? So here we go. This was my agenda. You ready? My agenda was to teach her, or to say, why are you causing drama? Why are you asking me that? Why don't you go to the source? See, I wanted to teach her something and tell her something, but guess what? After I said it, guess what? Guess how I felt? Guess how I felt? You think I felt peaceful? No, I didn't. I was bothered. I was irritated. And let me throw this out, too. Let me throw this out, too, because this is even on another level. This is on another level. My irritation, here we go, another level, everyone, had nothing to do with what she said, had nothing to do with her question to me about why her mother wasn't invited. You feel me on this practice? Nothing to do with the story. You really want to experience more peace? Let go of the stories that are telling you you're feeling this way because of. So I had two lessons yesterday. Number one, I have an agenda. And I asked her, why are you asking me? Why don't you ask her? That's what I said out loud. And, you know, I felt it all in my body. It felt like shit all in my body. Because I already know better. But sometimes, you know, just sometimes, when you're surrounded, just sometimes, even a happiness specialist breaks down. Woo! So not only did I have an agenda to teach her that you're trying to cause drama talking to me about someone else. That's all on me, though, all on me. And then the second thing is my irritation, my annoyance. Guess what, everyone? We all feel different kinds of emotions, and we put labels on them. We feel different ways and different times. But I challenge you, you could put the label, let go of the story of why. It was just time for me to feel irritated. It was time for me to be annoyed, and it had nothing to do with her question about why her mother wasn't invited. Bam! Letting go of the stories is another practice. Oh, I know we love to tell stories, but I will be damned if I say that I'm feeling this way because of a story. And if it's longer than three words, it's a story. And why? Who is the author of the story? Number one, who is the author? Who is telling the story? Is it your higher consciousness or your lower consciousness? So when I say ego, mind, lower consciousness, it's the same. Who is the author of the story? The lower conscious was the author of my story. And you know that it's the author, you know that the ego is the author of the story when you only have one perspective. You can only muster one perspective, one way of looking at it. You know that that critical lower consciousness is the author. So there you go. That was my day yesterday. And that feeling, so then what do you do? What did I do? Rejoice quickly, recover quickly. I felt the way I felt. I said what I had to say. I said what I said. Bam. Next moment. It's not sitting in it. I'm talking about it now just to share with you. It's not sitting in it. It's not talking about it later on in the day, carrying it over into tomorrow, talking about it next week. No, I got more interesting things to do. More than to sit and talk about yesterday and how I was irritated. It was just time for me to be. Feel that way. When does the volcano erupt? When it's time. Whatever you're going through, it's just time to experience it. That's it. No more, no less. And let me end it with this. I had a question, you know, all these wisdom people, not wisdom people, but the app is saying to ask questions. I love questions. And last week I got a really interesting question about you know, when I achieve my goals, I'm not as happy, or I achieve my goals, but it's not, but the happiness doesn't last. Okay, that was a great question last week. Let's see. The question was, I still feel dissatisfied after I achieve goals. And so my answer was the vibration and the energy of satisfaction has nothing to do with achieving a goal. It has something to do with a state of being. It's something to do with your vibration in the moment. But this week I got this question. Here we go. Speaking about interesting. Who, Rebecca, who is the most interesting person you think, who is the most interesting person that's ever lived? That was the question. Hypothetical question, philosophical question. I usually don't answer those questions. And why don't I answer them? Because I'm a problem solution kind of girl. I don't have time to do philosophical, hypothetical questions. It doesn't interest me. It may interest you. A lot of people love to talk about philosophize. That's not the word. Yeah, a lot of people like to do that. It's just not me. I rather spend my time doing something else. And so my answer was anyone that I find interesting is anyone that is on this journey seeking, searching, looking for the truth, growing, sharing, expanding consciousness. If you want a particular, let's go to Buddha, Jesus, Confucius, Eckhart Tolle. I mean, all of these. And then the most interesting person is me. I'm interesting. Maybe not to you, which is okay. I'm interesting. 40 years of this shit. I'm interesting. The laughing when called, somebody says I'm toxic. Mother dies, the house goes to the handyman. After 2 weeks, I can laugh at it. That's interesting. How do I do it? Anyone can. Happiness is a practiced skill. And if there's not any question, guest call in 646-564-9619. I am going to end this talk. I really, 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 from the bottom of my heart, appreciate each and every one of you listening. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality Radio is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Woo! Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. I have a LinkedIn. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I'm trying to clean up, you know, the YouTube channel, but everything is a work in process. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. I wrote a chapter in a recent book that was just out. It's called The Book I Read, which just talks about what author has been very influential. And I chose, I mean, it's hard just to choose one person, but I am such a big David Hawkins fan. And the Eye of the Eye, I mean, come on, that book is so worn out. of Force versus Power, oh my God, David Hawkins. And you can look at some videos on YouTube of David Hawkins. You know, come on, David Hawkins, Ernest Holmes, Abraham, Esther Hicks, Eckhart Tolle, Deepak, you know, anyone that can teach me something new that I can implement, that I can start practicing, I get to a level of more peace. So that's what my contribution to this planet is, peace. I am in. So until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Be your own best friend by accepting yourself in every moment. And remember, this is Abraham's quote, You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle teacher, and student. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find. Your experience in every moment just reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Getting real. Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, you gon' feel good now.
Get real.
Good.
Get spirituality.
That's what I'm about to say.
Time to get real.